We interviewed Wendell Stevens at the UFO Congress on February 8, 2003. Stevens is one of the world's most eminent and long-time UFO researchers. Win, how did you get started in UFO research?
Wendell, I was working in the Air Force, and when I came up for rotation, they sent me to Alaska, to the Air Technical Intelligence Center at Wright Field. When I got there, I found that one of my main jobs was to supervise a team that was installing special equipment aboard the B-29's flying target profile missions to Russia. This was special equipment designed to record data from the unidentified aerial phenomena that were being reported up there. We put extra search detectors on all five of the B-29's electrical systems. We also put radiation detectors, magnetic detectors, and RF emission scanners, which scan the whole radio frequency spectrum, stop on the strongest signal, record it, and move on to the next strongest signal. There were extra cameras. Every gun position had 16mm movie cameras, plus there were three more handheld ones and a Fairchild camera, which takes pictures on an 8x10-inch negative. All this was in case we would have an anomalous aerial phenomenon. Sometimes these events would be quite spectacular. One report was of the airplane approaching an ice pack and seeing a big disc sitting on the ice field. The disc took off and flew away, leaving no ground equipment behind. It takes a lot of equipment to launch a B-29 to get it airborne, and this disc was bigger than a B-29, and yet it launched itself from an ice pack with no equipment left behind. Sometimes, we saw anomalous phenomena sitting on water, and they would submerge and disappear. All this was beyond any of our technical ability. When did all this take place?
Wendell. That was 1947 to 1949.
When? I would assume that the stuff you were seeing was all physical material objects, not the interdimensional craft which you talked about today,
Wendell.
We didn't even entertain ideas then about interdimensional. There might have been some of those, but no one knew anything about that, so it couldn't be considered. They were solid physical objects. They were metallic. They gave radar return. They could be tracked, but they did make sharp right-angle turns. By human standards, we thought the G-force in some of those turns would crush the crew, so that they must have had some way of protecting themselves, force fields, something.
When? So did this end in 1949?
Wendell.
No.
When I came in, it was already going on. I took over for someone else and ran it for 2 years. When I rotated out, somebody replaced me. It's probably still going on.
When? How did you end up doing private investigations?
Wendell. When I was doing that for the Air Force, every time an event happened, we would separate the crew for debriefing. A stenographer would take down everything they said, and it would be typed up and put in a box, with all the pictures and tapes, and sent to Washington, D.C. I wanted to see some of the pictures and videos and keep copies, but they wouldn't let me. My superior told me that anything I did or collected on my own time I could keep, but whatever I did or collected on Air Force time belonged to the government and I had no right to it. So I started researching cases on my own and keeping my own files.
When? Do you find this case in Argentina the most interesting now?
Wendell. There are others that are equally exciting. There's a case in Ecuador where an Indian woman has carried an alien fetus. This was not a hybrid. This was an alien installed in her uterus. She went aboard voluntarily. They contacted the husband and wife and asked if they would mind carrying one of their fetuses, explaining that their race was losing their emotions and they thought this method of giving birth might impart some of the emotional potential they had lost. They actually installed alien fetuses in 8 women at the same time. For 7 of them, they came and got the growing fetus in 3 months. For the 8th one they let the fetus grow to 4 months and 8 days, and then they got it.
When?
Were they flying UFOs when they came to pick up the fetuses?
Wendell.
Yes.
When?
And all the women saw the UFOs?
Wendell.
Yes. This woman and her husband walked aboard hand in hand when the aliens came to get the fetus. They were expecting them to come get it. The aliens lowered an examining table and removed the fetus through the vagina into a transparent plastic cylinder. They held it up so the husband could see it, and it wiggled its arms and feet so he could see that it was alive. One interesting thing was that they removed the fetus with a piece of the umbilical and the placenta attached. The man said, "What are you going to do with it?" And they said they were going to put it into an incubator and finish the development. Then he asked if they'd had any success so far. "There's one," they said. And they pointed to a small alien child standing in the corner watching the operation. "When?" "Where did they say they were from?" "Did they identify themselves?" "Wendell." "They gave them a name, but it didn't mean anything to us. They said they were from a planet called Ectum. If we could see this planet, although we can't, it's too small, we'd see it in the middle of the Orion constellation." "When?" "Any other unusual UFO encounters you can tell us about?" "Wendell." "Two young men were camping in the woods in northern Sweden by a little lake, and they heard a strange noise outside. One of the men got up to look and saw a strange disc hovering above the water. So he used his 35mm camera to take pictures of it. But he didn't want to be seen, so he hid behind the tent flap. He caught the tent flap in the image, out of focus, a couple of times. While this is going on, his buddy was looking for the video camera. He finally got it out and turned it on and caught about 3 seconds of the UFO before it flew off. So they got the images on the video camera and the still camera. The aliens came back repeatedly over time and started taking them aboard. They're still taking them aboard. "When?" "In your talk, you showed an amazing series of photographs taken in Argentina by the Batalanos brothers, three brothers who have viewed and photographed what seem to be transparent, multicolored UFOs that can blink on and off, appear and disappear. You showed us what seemed to be holographic projections of bodies that would descend from the UFOs and float along the ground. And you said that one of the brothers had actually had his body dematerialized and reassembled in another dimension on board the alien spacecraft, just like on Star Trek. How did you happen to contact these brothers?" "Wendell." "They came to me around 1997. They'd heard about me and knew I was a researcher. I don't know when their first contact occurred, but they'd started taking pictures 2 years before, in 1995. The unusual part of this contact was that they said it was interdimensional. It was not physical, it's the alien's native reality, of course, so it's not other to them. So here, they were apparitions. You could put your hand through them. But they were opaque enough to cast shadows." "When?" "So one of the aspects of this case, as I understood your presentation, is that they actually dematerialized one of the young Argentinian brothers." "Wendell." "Yes, they transfigured him. They took him out of our physical reality and into another dimensional reality, where he could go aboard their ship and interact with them. His friends saw his body change density and go into the ship. Also, as I mentioned in my talk, this contact with these three brothers is an ongoing phenomenon. It's still happening." "When?" "Why do you think that these other dimensional beings are coming here?" "Wendell." "They are coming here to interact with us and try to learn about materiality, and we're trying to learn other dimensionality